Good day, everyone. Welcome to the UFC conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Dave Schaller. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's UFC 133 conference call. Today we are joined by UFC President Dana White, who will be here to speak about the new main event, which features Rashad Evans taking on Tito Ortiz. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to UFC President Dana White.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for calling in today. Basically, I'll start this off by telling you, going through the facts and how we got to where we are today. Most of you might have read already that Phil Davis, I found out last week that his knee was hurt. We set him up to get an MRI on Monday. So to start getting ready, in case he was injured, we started making calls. I called Tito Ortiz. Tito Ortiz told me that, you know, he had some personal stuff going on and he didn't want to jump back into training camp. So I moved on. I called Lyoto Machida, who has been terrorizing me for a fight for a long time, and says he's wanted a fight. He accepted the fight, and I was very excited about it. So then we did confirm with the MRI that Phil Davis was hurt. And the problem with Phil Davis was Phil Davis couldn't kickbox for 2.5 weeks. So to do that to a young guy who's up and coming, is undefeated, made no sense. So pulled him out. We knew we had Machida. Then I called Machida's people back, and they, you know, the whole, if you pay us Anderson Silva money, we'll take this fight. I opted not to pay him Anderson Silva money and told him when he accomplishes all the things that Anderson Silva has accomplished, then maybe he'll make Anderson Silva-type money. So then it was late that night, I think it was late Tuesday night, Tito Ortiz called me back and asked if we had if we had sold the spot for the main event. I said we hadn't. He said, let me talk to my team tonight. I'll call you back tomorrow. Called me yesterday and accepted the fight, and now we have Tito Ortiz versus Rashad Evans. And I'll open it up for questions.
Thank you very much. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, if you have a question at this time, please press star 1. We'll pause for a few moments to assemble the queue. We'll take our first question from Neil Davidson with the Canadian Press.
Yes, afternoon, Dana.
Hey, Neil, how are you?
Good, thank you. Two questions. Is it unusual that in a situation like that that you get requests for more money from the fighter's camp? And two, did you have to, were there any financial discussions with Tito?
Lots of crazy things happen, you know, in this business. And usually when you think, when stuff like that happens, you know the guys it's going to happen with. You know, you see, before you make that call, you know what that call is going to be like. I did not expect that from Lyoto Machida, no. And then, no, Tito did not ask for any more money.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
We'll go next to Sergio Non with USA Today. Mr. Non, we're unable to hear you. You might try picking up your handset or pressing your mute button. Due to no response, we'll move on to Kevin Richardson with the Baltimore Sun.
Hey, Dana. How you doing?
Good.
Did Tito accept the same amount of money that you were giving Machida?
Did he? No, Tito, you know, Tito has a contract already. Tito accepted the deal on his contract. Tito stepped up. Listen, you know me, man. I'll tell you guys all the details. And that was a lot of, you know, last night on Twitter and stuff, I saw a lot of the questions the fans were asking. You know, this was a hot topic about Tito. People were asking if he was, you know, did he go for more money? Tito didn't get any more money. Tito didn't get anything. He's got the same exact deal he had, you know, well, if this was just a regular fight, we called him up and said, Tito, this is your next fight.
But you look at what Tito brought in when he fought Bader, and that looks like Anderson Silva money. Can you talk about that there?
Yeah, and that's a good question. There was a lot of talk after that last fight about what Tito got paid. You know, we signed that deal with Tito a long time ago. We signed that deal with Tito a while ago, and, you know, Tito's been around for a long time. And going into this last fight, when we renegotiated, we said, Tito, we're going to cut you. And he said, you know, we talked about him not being cut. He said, please give me another chance and everything else. Tito's been around for a long time, and we didn't go in and we didn't renegotiate his money. We let him fight. I will be honest, thought that was going to be Tito's last fight. I thought Ryan Bader was probably going to win that fight. That would be Tito's last fight ever in mixed martial arts, and, you know, he was probably going to retire after that, and that's what Tito got paid.
Now, when you talked to Tito, was it all predicated on the fact that if he were to lose, that he wouldn't be cut?
For the Bader fight or for this fight?
Oh, for this upcoming
fight. No, we didn't talk about that. But, you know, obviously Tito's stepping up and he's taking a big fight on short notice. And, you know, I respect that. So we'll see what happens.
We'll take our next question from Kareth Gabriel with the Philadelphia Daily News.
Hi, Dana. Thanks for taking the call.
No, thank you.
No problem. Just a quick question for you. Would it be safe to assume at this point that this fight between Tito and Rashad could be assumed as the number one, as next in line for the number one contender?
Well, there's no doubt that Rashad is the next in line. I mean, this guy, and for all of you that know that story too, you know, he turned down a fight that he should have taken a year and a half ago. And he's had nothing but a string of bad luck since. Every opponent he's had gets injured. I mean, this guy, he's got the curse on him right now. He's been training for this fight. It would have been horrible if we had to pull him out of this fight, too. We pulled this thing off. He's definitely, if Tito beats Rashad on August 6th, Tito is definitely, I mean, how could anybody deny he beats a top 10 contender in Ryan Bader and then comes in and knocks off who many believe is the number one contender for the title. So Tito, it would definitely put Tito in the mix. I wouldn't say that he's necessarily the number one contender after this fight, but he's top three.
Thanks, Dana.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Gareth Davis with the Daily Telegraph London.
Hello, good afternoon, gentlemen, or good morning, wherever you are.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well, Dee. Dana, can I just ask you, you know, I did an interview with Tito a few weeks ago before he fought Ryan Bader, and, you know, he explained how he begged for his job back with you guys, with Lorenzo, with yourself, with Joe Silva. You guys have been insistent, really, that it was time for him, it was time to retire. Can you speak a little bit about, you know, your admiration for him, because he really did come back and prove it in the Bader fight, and here he is now, he's stepped up again, and as you say, you know, use the word in the mix, you know, he could be in the top three contenders for the title if he beats Rashad Evans, a very difficult fight for him. But can you speak about your admiration for Tito and perhaps how we get him wrong sometimes?
Yeah, well, it's actually, trust me, I haven't gotten him wrong over the last, I've been dealing with him for 14 years, believe me.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's a very interesting, cool story in how he's turning this thing around. But if you remember, before the last fight, I said, Tito Ortiz fights best when his back is against the wall, man. When this guy, you know, when everything's on the line, it's when he fights best. The other thing about Tito is he's been a one-dimensional fighter his whole career because he could be. Tito was so good at taking you down, putting you against that fence, and smashing you, he didn't have to do anything else. He didn't have to take any risks. But what a lot of people don't realize, Tito's got really great jiu-jitsu. Tito's good at jiu-jitsu. If he gets you, he'll submit you. He almost submitted Chief Machida in that fight. You know, he ended up submitting Ryan Bader in his last one. It's an interesting story. And, yes, I do. I will say I respect Tito for stepping up and taking this fight. You know, I like dealing with this new Tito Ortiz.
Well, in many ways as well, Dana. I mean, he looked in fantastic shape against Ryan Bader as well, is something I noticed. And also, you know, he's the last of a generation. He's not getting knocked out from the same kind of peers of his generation. He hasn't taken a hammering by anyone. It wasn't a good performance against Matt Hamill, obviously. But he's still not taken a hammering. And you know, it's good to see that you're giving this guy a go because he's loved by so many fans, even though he's hated by many as well. But,
right.
You know, it's great news for him, isn't it?
And I don't disagree with you. You know, in the whole thing about me asking Chuck Liddell to retire, And when I came out and said that I'd probably like to see Wanderlei Silva retire now too. You know, a lot of fans were going crazy. No, Guerra came out with the whole, Dana White thinks he's God thing. But the reason No Guerra said that is because I had a conversation with No Guerra after his last fight too. And the difference between Tito Ortiz and these other guys is, yes, Tito was on this losing streak. Tito has not been viciously knocked out several times in a row. Tito has barely lost, you know, his last however many fights. He's been outpointed or whatever, and I would have to agree with what he said at the press conference. Nobody's been beating up on Tito Ortiz the last, five or six fights.
Thanks very much. Sorry to take up so much time. Thank you.
No, thank you, Gareth.
We'll take our next question from Chris Perkins with South Florida Sun Sentinel Newspaper.
Hey, Dana, what was the next step if Tito would not have called you back? What was the next plan, and would you have called him back and tried to talk him into this?
No, I don't really do that. What we would have done is our next plan was to Vladimir Matyushenko is also on the card. And Vladimir Matyushenko is one out of his last six fights, the only loss he has is to John Jones. So that was probably the next, We wanted to make sure that Rashad could get this fight. Rashad's been out for so long, and Vladimir Matyushenko, I'm sure, would have loved to have had that opportunity too.
And can I get off the main event for a second and ask you about Mike Brown, who, of course, is one of our local fighters at ATT. Does he, 35 years old, he's got a few losses here recently. Dana, does he have any realistic title hopes at this point in his career, do you think?
You never know. If you'd asked me at the last show if I thought Tito would be back in, possibly fighting for the number one, Tito was fighting for the top three, position in the 205-pound division, I'd have told you were nuts. That's one of the most exciting things about the sport is nobody knows what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen.
Right, right. And as far as Mike's status in the sport right now, still feared or respected, but maybe not feared as much as two or three years ago? What would you say?
Yeah, no, I think he's a very respected fighter, and you never know all the details of what's going on with a guy physically, mentally, emotionally. You know, what's he going through right now? Can he come back? And you never know if it's just that a guy gets to that age and that point where all his skills start to decline and diminish. You never know. It's tough to tell.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Dave Diebert with Post Media News.
Hey, Dana. Thanks for the call. In your opinion, what does a revitalized Tito Ortiz mean to box office, mean to pay-per-view buys?
Good question. It'll be interesting to see. You know, the thing with the Tito thing right now is there's a lot of buzz on him after his last fight. I mean, people were blown away. It was a great card, and part of the reason that card was so great were all the different storylines, great knockouts, and one of the big ones out of that last show was Tito Ortiz. He's back. Everybody knew that his back was against the wall. I said this is his last fight. He went out and claimed that he begged for his job back, and, we'll see. I think people are going to be interested to see if Tito can beat Rashad and get himself back into the mix.
All right, and just one more quick one. With all the bouncing around from, just in the last few days alone, what's the word that you're hearing out of Rashad's camp?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what came out of Rashad's camp. When I was bouncing around names, Tito Ortiz, Machida could possibly do that. His answer was, I don't care who you get. I don't care who the opponent is. You don't have to call me and approve the opponent with me. Whoever the opponent is, I'm in. I'm done. I'm ready to fight. So Rashad is ready to go.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Dana.
All right. Thank you.
We'll go next to Danny O'Neill with Seattle Times.
Dana, I'm wondering kind of the popularity that Tito's been able to sustain even during that losing streak. Is that just because he was such a pioneer in the sport? How do you, as a promoter, look at him and explain how his popularity has persevered?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, you know, I always say Tito has that thing. It's called the it factor is what I call it. You can't really put your finger on it. You know, when he walks into a room, he's just got that personality, and, you know, people are just drawn to him, whether it's to hate him or to like him. People care one way or the other. And when you're in the fight business, that's really all that matters. You don't want to be that guy that nobody cares either way. You know, they don't hate you. They don't like you. He's all right. You don't want to be that guy. Tito has always been, since the day I met him, he's been a guy who's just had that aura about him. People are drawn to him one way or the other.
Thanks, Dana.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Eduardo Martel with Univision.
Hey, Dana, this is Eduardo Martel from Univision Radio and Univision.com. Now that you got the Brazilians, you got Tito, you got Ivan Menjivar, you got a lot of Latinos in this event. How do you feel about that regarding to the growth of the MMA and the UFC inside our Latino community?
Yeah, no, I'm excited. And you know, not just the Latinos, we got fighters from all over the world. And I said it a long time ago, man, as this thing continues to grow, you're going to see more and more Latinos fighting in the UFC, especially when we start to really get these lighter divisions rolling. And now we're talking about bringing in the 125-pounders, too.
And the second question, quick question, how do you envision the fight between Rashad and Tito inside the octagon?
It's an interesting fight, man. See, what you would say is, listen, Rashad's younger. He's faster. He's an explosive athlete. He's probably got faster hands. Probably a better wrestler by now. This, that. All the same shit you said about Ryan Bader. You know, I said the same thing about Bader. Bader's too big, too strong, too fast, too explosive. His hands are better than Tito's. His wrestling's better than Tito's. Tito almost knocks him out and then submits him. So who the hell knows what's going to happen.
Okay. Gracias, Dana.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Franklin McNeil with ESPN.
Hey, Dana. I want to ask you about Phil Davis. You mentioned that he hurt his knee and couldn't kickbox for 2 weeks, but was he able to continue training at all?
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. Could he continue training? Could he have sit? Yeah, he could have. But the reality is the kid is hurt. He's a young guy. He's undefeated. He can't even train in kickboxing for the next couple of weeks. And he can wrestle to some extent. But number one, why would I want to do that to a young up-and-coming kid and have him, you know, a lot of these guys will do that stuff and not even tell you. I knew because he had to go in and get this MRI done, so we set it up. And let me tell you this, too. Phil Davis 100% still wanted this fight. And I'm like, there's no way, kid. Plus, the other thing is, who's to say he can't kickbox for 2.5 weeks? He starts full training again and totally blows it out and gets hurt. Now he's going to be out for God knows how long, and we just lost the main event a week before the fight.
And so what's next for Phil Davis? How soon do you hope to have him back in the octagon and possibly against whom?
As soon as he's 100% and against, you know, again, against the top contender and the top 10 guy in the light heavyweight division.
Now, Tito, you know, with all the craziness of the past few days, and it didn't look so good for, you know, for a couple of days. But in your opinion, does Evans Ortiz too, in some ways, make this card even more appealing because of their history?
Yeah, I mean, I think because of their history and because I think that the storyline for this fight is exciting. Rashad's been having a string of bad luck where he hasn't fought in a year and a half. He's, you know, he's the number one contender out there. Tito just comes off the Cinderella win against this young, you know, incredible up-and-coming light heavyweight. Then you've got, you know, Rich Franklin and Nogueira. You got Vitor Belfort and Akiyama. And the rest of the card. We got a great card for Philly. I'm excited.
We'll take our next question from Jose Rodriguez with Sun Media Canada.
Hey, Dana. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
I guess my question is, what does this do for Machida? I mean, what's the relationship there like?
Well, you know, like I said at the beginning of the call, when you're going to make these phone calls, especially, well, actually, I was wrong. When you make these phone calls, you know the guys that you're going to have to, you know, that are going to be tough, and you're going to have to do whatever you got to do with. Never do I expect to have a guy accept the fight and then call him back and say, yeah, well, now we're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to pay me Anderson Silva money. And it's not even like their camp came back and said, you know what, we want an extra this or that. You know, we're taking this thing, we'd like this or that. They came straight out and said, we want Anderson Silva money. I mean, that's just Anderson Silva has gone undefeated in the UFC since 2006. He's broken every record there is in the UFC. He moved up a weight class and beat two guys at 205 easily and has dominated and cleaned out an entire 185-pound division. And you want his money? I've never even heard anything so I don't even know how to put a word on that.
But does it change, I guess, the way you negotiate with him in the future? Does it, you know, does that mark stay with you? And
nah, you know what, in this business, and I've been in this business a long time, and you know, people lose their minds sometimes. People get crazy. Who knows? Maybe Machida's camp did that, and he didn't even know. I don't even know. You know, I guarantee you he knows they did it now. But, you know, we'll see what happens. This guy was telling me all he wants to do is get back in there and fight as soon as possible and all this. Well, you know, he had his opportunity.
And one last question, if I may. Tito Ortiz, you've touched on it a whole bunch of times. I guess, can you describe how he went from being the ultimate goat in your eyes, you know, the ultimate kicking boy, to being this guy that comes and rescues 133 and arguably is developing a brand new fan base that would have never been familiar with Tito back in the day?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. He was never the my ultimate kicking guy, you know, that I would like to kick. I mean, he was a guy who went the other way, never worked with us, was always causing problems, and in my opinion would step over dollars to pick up dimes, you know, and would make all these horrible decisions to now all of a sudden being, you know, this guy who's not only, easy to deal with, but wants to get out there and stay active and fight. I like it. I enjoy it. I wish I had this Tito Ortiz 7 years ago. You know what I mean? And I think part of it might have to do with, and I've seen it with some of the other guys, when you know that window's starting to close and you're like, yeah, I think, and Tito said it publicly, that he feels like he made some bad decisions earlier on in his life and in his career, and I think he's trying to turn that around now.
Great. Thanks again.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Matt Bishop with Detroit News.
Hi, Dana.
Hey, Matt.
Two quick questions for you. First off, how hungry is Rashad right now?
He's hungry. Let me tell you what. I've had my moments with Rashad, too. I've had my moments with everybody. You know, where you call a guy and he's like, yeah, you know. And I don't know if you remember the whole thing that went down with me and him when he was turning down these fights and said, yeah, I'll wait for Shogun's knee to heal. Like, you're going to – this guy just had – major knee surgery, and you're going to sit out this entire time and not fight anybody and wait for his knee to heal? How does that make sense? You know, and he felt it made sense. I thought it didn't. So then he never ends up fighting Shogun anyway because he gets injured, and now every opponent after that has been injured that Rashad was supposed to fight. And, you know, I think he sees now that when you get the opportunity to fight, you jump and you take it.
Yeah. And second off, was there any consideration at all to dipping into the 205-pounders in Strikeforce for this fight?
It never crossed my mind.
Okay. Cool.
I mean, at 205 in Strikeforce, who would I grab that could come in and fight Rashad Evans? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Tito just fought. Tito just came off a fight where he was in great shape. He went in and it was a quick fight. He took absolutely no damage whatsoever. It really did make sense.
We'll go next to Dave Meltzer with Yahoo Sports.
Hey, Dana, how you doing?
Hey, good, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. On the Phil Davis thing, I mean, how serious is the knee injury? I mean, is it something that he's going to need surgery or rehab or just a couple of just rest?
Yeah, rehab and rest. That he's going to go through some rehab on it. But so he shouldn't be out long. I don't know if you heard earlier what I was telling one of the reporters earlier, is we're in a situation where you got this young kid who's undefeated. He can't kickbox for 2.5. I don't even know what that means, he can't kickbox, but he could do other things, you know. He was in a bad situation. He was sucking it up and saying, I'm going to take this fight anyway. And my thing was, well, what happens in 2.5 weeks if you still can't kickbox? You know, then what are we, a week, a half a week away from the fight? And then we have to pull the main event?
Yeah.
Didn't make sense.
Yeah. Now, what do you consider? I mean, we've got an interesting aspect of this fight is one guy's coming off not fighting for 14 months and one guy's coming off not fighting for 5 weeks. Which one do you think has the advantage? Or, you know, I mean, one's had a full camp but probably is going to suffer from ring rust because every fighter is out for that long. They say they don't, and then after the fight, they always say, you know what, they do.
I say it before every fight, Dave. I'm a huge believer in ring rust. It's absolutely 100% true. And I don't care how much you train, how much you spar, and all the other things you do, it's not a fight. Fighting is what keeps you in shape. Fighting is what keeps your timing on and keeps you in the best possible condition you can be in. I like guys to fight 3 times a year. And that was my big beef with Prashad. I was like, wait a minute, you're at the top of the game right now. You're gonna take as much time off as Shogun. Shogun has to. He blew his knee out and had to have his whole knee rebuilt. He has to take this time off. You don't. Yeah, I'm going to wait. I'm a huge believer in ring rust, and I agree with you there, too. And I think that's what makes this story so interesting, too. And I think that's what makes this fight so appealing for Tito Ortiz. You know, when Tito first said, you know what, I got some personal problems and everything else, I guarantee you sat around and said, that dude hasn't fought in a year and a half. First time we fought to a draw, you know. And we have a lot of the same attributes. I feel great. I feel healthy. Just came off a big win. Confidence couldn't be higher. It's the absolute perfect fight for Tito Ortiz.
So you think as far as the timing, 14 months versus 5 weeks, that Tito will have the edge? Because, you know, I mean, neither's like optimum, but do you think Tito's got the edge with that?
Do I think Tito has the edge with what?
As far as, you know, coming off of a fight, you know, and just having fought, you know, a couple of weeks earlier versus not having fought for 14 months.
I absolutely positively do.
Okay. Cool.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
We'll go next to Mike Geppetta with AOL Sports.
Hi, Dana. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
I know you've talked a little bit about Phil Davis. Do you know exactly what his injury is? Is it a tear? Is it a strain? Anything? Do you know exactly?
Yeah, it's a strain or a sprain or a, you know. I don't know the exact. I'll get that for you. I should have had that on the call today. I apologize, but
okay.
I'll find out exactly what it is.
Okay. And the situation with Machida's camp. Obviously, that conversation doesn't sound like it went very well for them. But after you said no thanks and sort of moved on, did they ever try to come back to you and say maybe we made a mistake here, or did you hear from them anything afterwards or no?
Nope, not a word. Still haven't heard from them.
Huh.
Yeah, and I guarantee you, like I said, this thing hit yesterday. I guarantee you they know about it now and still haven't heard a word from them. So that goes to show you that Machida did know, and Machida did say, yeah, tell him I want Anderson Silva money.
And then Tito, I mean, he originally said no, too. Did you have any indication, though, when you first talked to him and he said no, that maybe there was some wiggle room in his mind that he might reconsider?
Not at all. No, I thought Tito was out. Tito was never even an option for me again. And then Tito called me and said, "Did you get somebody for that? Did you get somebody for that fight?" And I said, "No." And he sat there. You know, there's pauses and everything else. And I said, "Why? What's up? You interested? Are you gonna take this fight?" And he said, "You know what? Let me talk to my guys tonight, and I'll call you back tomorrow." And he called me. Called me and took the fight.
Did he say why he had to change his heart though, or change his mind?
He didn't. No, I didn't ask him. I didn't give a shit. I just was happy he was taking it.
All right.
I wanted to get off the phone with him as quick as I could before he changed his mind again.
All right, cool. Thank you very much.
All right.
We'll go next to Neil Davidson with the Canadian Press.
Yes, Dana, Mike kind of asked my question just then, but can I ask you also, there have been a lot of injuries recently. Obviously, this happens in the sport. Do you think it's a bad patch? Is it just the result of your doing more fight cards, cost of doing business, anything that can be done?
Yeah, no, it's you go through all these different things in the business. We're just going through this this cycle right now where guys are getting injured. You know, this the thing about the sport is these guys train so hard, you're going to get these injuries are going to happen. I don't think it's anything, you know. We're not looking at this thing and going, oh, God, this or that or anything else. We're just going through a spell right now.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
We'll take our next question from Larry Pepe with Pro MMA Radio.
Hey, Dana. Thanks for taking the time.
Pleasure, man.
Hey, couple of questions. Machida, was there ever anything about the short notice? Because I know how much you like hearing from wives and girlfriends, but his wife is out saying that it really was about that he felt it would be unprofessional to take a fight on such short notice.
Well, it would have been more professional to call me and tell me that than what they called and told me.
Okay. And,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's also some stories circulating that Chael Sonnen and Chris Lieben called you for the fight. Is that true?
They did. That is true. Both those nuts called me. Yeah, they didn't call me. They texted me. And both said they wanted to fight. And I told them both they weigh 185 pounds, but thanks for texting.
And I know it's not uncommon for guys to reach out when they see that there's an injury, especially on a main event like this. Did anybody else reach out to you besides those two?
Nope. Those were the only two. Two 285-pounders did.
Okay.
But the other good thing about this fight, too, is that, finally Rashad will get Rashad in there. Rashad gets this fight. And then, we got that fight coming up in Denver. Between Rampage and Jones. We can get this log jam out of the 205-pound division.
And just to be clear, if Rashad wins, you feel he would face the winner of Jones and Rampage?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Dana. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
We'll go next to Anthony Springer with FightNews.com.
Hi, Dana, and thanks for your time today.
Pleasure. Thank you.
A couple of quick questions. You know, outside of the nightmare scenario of losing a main event, given that Tito has stepped up, is there a better scenario that you could have asked for in this instance?
Listen, I'm in the fight business, man. You guys have seen it many times. When something falls apart, we go in and fix it. And it's funny because we always do a pretty good job of either putting a comparable fight in or sometimes a better fight and was there in the first place. You know, it's one of the things where that makes this sport so great, one of the many things that makes it so great. And we've been very lucky.
And my final question on that note, given there have been a few main events that have fallen apart with, Frankie and Gray, and there was one on the New Year's show a couple of years back. Is this
and when Brock Lesnar fell out, too. Brock Lesnar
right.
fell out. Tito fell out after coaching the season of The Ultimate Fighter. I mean, it's happened to us quite a few times.
Right. Is this now something that you all are kind of starting to plan for, put some plan Bs on the table when you put these main events together?
You never plan for it. You just hope it doesn't happen, and when it does, we always tell our guys anyways, everybody should, you guys are professional athletes, you should always be in shape, and you should always be ready for the call.
Definitely. Thank you. That was my final question.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Ariel Helwani with AOL.
Hey, Dana, how's it going?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, thanks. So I'm wondering, since Phil Davis is obviously a local draw because he's from Pennsylvania, and I know this is pretty fresh, but have you noticed or have you heard of any spike in ticket sales since Tito, being the fan favorite that he is, was announced as his replacement?
No, somebody was asking me that yesterday, too, about ticket. I never worry about the ticket sales. We always do just fine on tickets, so I haven't even watched or been into it or whatever. Listen, the only thing that I care about is that we were able to keep that Rashad Evans fight as the main event.
And was this, response from Lyoto out of the ordinary, or has he been known to play hardball in the past?
Like I said, completely out of the ordinary. There's the guys that you're about to call, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is going to be fun. I can't wait to get into this call. And that was the last thing on earth I expected because I told you, this guy's been terrorizing me. I want to fight, and I want to fight as much as I possibly can. And then we call him for this fight, and that's their response. It really caught me off guard.
Who would you say was your top choice? Was it Tito?
Well, Tito was the first call I made. And the reason was because Tito just fought. Tito's in great shape. He just fought. He came out injury-free and took no damage in the fight.
Okay, and just one last one. When we talked to Tito before the Bader fight, he talked about wanting to get his old contract back, and he said that he thought if he beat Bader, he'd get it back. What exactly did he mean by that, and did he get his old contract back by beating Bader?
He did not get his old contract back by beating Bader. That was never the deal. Tito's under the deal that he had, whenever we signed that one a while ago when he came back into the UFC. And I'll tell you what, Tito beats Rashad, we'll talk about
okay,
it in the field.
So when you asked him about this and when he was thinking about it, he never said, you know, I'll take the fight if I get my old contract.
No,
he didn't do anything.
I'm telling you right now, Tito didn't try to. Tito called and took the fight. Tito called and took the fight. Everybody keeps asking me that same question because I think everybody's as shocked as I am. I hear you. You know, there's no – Tito called and Tito took that fight. Tito didn't say, I'll take this fight if you do this, that, and that. I'll take this fight if you give me that old deal. He took the fight, you know?
Thank you.
And it's a big story. If he comes in, he beats Rashad, Tito Ortiz is back.
Cool. Thank you.
All right.
We'll go next to Camilo Ortiz with El Octagono.
Hey, Dana, how's it going, man? This is Camilo from eloctagono.com. I had two questions, but before I ask you about this fight card, I read today an article that your mother has released a tell-all book about you. It's called Dana White, King of MMA. Have you read it, and you have any comments on it?
I have not. I heard about it this morning. I feel like Eminem now. What's your question about the fight?
The question was, we all know that sometimes some fights don't happen, and an even better fight happens. Would you say that this is a much better fight than Evans and Davis? And business aside, would you say that like you're very disappointed with Lyoto, especially knowing that like you praise fighters when they step up, for example, like Chris Leben?
Okay, I understood half of what you said. Do I think this is a better fight? Well, no. Obviously, if I didn't think the first fight was a good fight, we wouldn't have made it. Phil Davis is an up-and-coming star. The kid's undefeated. He's incredibly talented. That was a great fight. Both guys have similar styles. That fight fell out, and what we do is we try to jump in there and make another great fight that the fans want to see, and a fight that's interesting and a fight that makes sense. And should Tito win this fight, you know, with the storylines and you just fought and everything else, it's a great fight. You asked me something about Chris Leben?
Like, how disappointed are you with Lyoto, especially knowing that you praise fighters when they step up to the plate, regardless whether it's been a week notice or a month notice. For example, like Chris Leben, he's always ready to fight.
Right. No. Yeah. Good point. I'm disappointed in the way they handled it. Listen, all you got to tell me is, no, I'm not ready. And like I said earlier, you ask, there's nothing wrong with saying, can I get this, can I get that? I'm taking this thing on short notice. But to call and say, you know what, you give me Anderson Silva money, and I'll take this fight. What makes you think that you deserve Anderson Silva money? You haven't accomplished anywhere near what Anderson Silva has accomplished. I just think it's completely disrespectful and a slap in the face to us and to Anderson Silva. Very weird. Very weird and very unlike Lyoto Machida.
We'll take our next question from Dave Meltzer with Yahoo Sports.
Dana, you brought up Brock Lesnar's name just came up a second ago, and I was just wondering if you've talked to him in the last couple of weeks, and how's he doing?
Yeah, actually, I did. I actually talked to his manager, and he is not talking to anybody. You want to hear how fast this guy's recovering? He's up on his farm in Canada. He has a big farm up in Canada, and he's basically up there farming and has completely disconnected himself from the world. No phones, no nothing. He's not talking to anybody. And I guess his recovery has been incredible.
Oh, good. Well, that's good news. Okay, well,
thank you.
We'll take our next question from Randy Harris with WTAN Radio.
Hey, Dana, how are you?
Hi, Randy. How are you?
Not too bad. Quick question. I had Tito on last night, and I asked him why he changed his mind. And he was saying that it's this new Tito and that, you know, the new relationship with you and the Fertittas. I want to know what happened between Thursday and Friday before the fight when you did have your problem with him to Saturday when it's the new Tito. Was it just a light switch that changed, or what happened?
Well, that's the thing. I always say this. Tito and I are always going to have that type of a relationship, you know, because if Tito stays on the path he's on now, this new Tito is awesome, you know. But every once in a while, he has these things where he comes out and, you know, and he acts like Tito. And when he does, I call him on it. I call him on the bullshit when he pulls the bullshit. And you know, and then we always end up working it out. But it's just, listen, Tito is who he is. It's his personality. It's the way that he's made. But I'm dead honest when I tell you, and you know, you guys know I would tell you, he's been easy to work with. You know, the day before the fight, when you guys saw he and I going at it in the back, it was a big deal, but it wasn't that big of a deal. I was pissed off about something, you know, we ended up figuring it out.
So at the press conference when Tito came out and he said it was the new, I mean, did you buy all that, that this is the Tito now?
I don't know. Who knows? I can tell you this. He's been easy to deal with. You know, believe me, if you guys don't think that when I called him, remember what I just said earlier? There's the guys that you make the call and you're waiting to hear the stuff. I was expecting to hear it from Tito, and I did not.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Cool. I'll take one more question.
We will take our last question from Joshua Carey with BleacherReport.com.
Hey, Dana. First of all, thank you for taking the time out to speak with us today.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Obviously, the focus of this card is with Phil being injured and then Tito stepping in, and Tito coming off of what you said, like the Cinderella story of defeating Bader when he was a huge underdog. But kind of want to get your thoughts on the Mike Powell and Roy McDonald fight, that's kind of, you know, a little bit smaller down, you know, the scale as far as maybe the attention and the factor there. I just want to kind of get your thoughts on that fight with Roy being young and doing very, very well, being impressive, and then Mike Powell really coming into his own as well.
And I couldn't agree with you more. This is a great fight. You know, Rory McDonald, every time this kid fights, he's so impressive. He's so talented, and he's young. And again, the interesting thing about this fight, like you just said, Mike Powell's been around for a long time and feels like a guy, you know, he's turned it up. He's getting these big wins lately, and it feels like a guy, he feels like he can't break through and can't get that respect that he feels like he deserves. And I think this is a big fight for both guys. Mike Powell goes in and beats Rory McDonald, or Rory McDonald beats Mike Powell. It gets these guys, I think, some respect, and I think it's going to be a great fight. Stylistically, it's a great matchup.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you all for taking the time to call in today. I appreciate it. And one more thing, just so everybody knows, that this Friday, tickets go on public sale in Denver for the Rampage Jackson Bones Jones fight. Thank you guys very much, and have a good day.
This does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation.